This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's good to have Pastor Mark Wallace, who leads Great Church Living Word Fellowship in Dinuba, California. And he's not only the pastor of that church, but he's a very influential man in the city of Dinuba, serving as the former city councilman there and former mayor. Pastor Mark Wallace, good to have you on today.
Hey, Dale. Good to be with you.
Well, it's a delight to hear your voice. And you were on several months ago. We talked about how you got involved in city government. And we could talk a lot about the miracles that God has done at your church. And I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, Gene and I, the opportunity over the years to minister at Living Word Fellowship, which is, you guys just have an incredible testimony of what God has done as a result of you and your wife Tammy's faith and your faithfulness over the years. How long have you been the pastor there of Living Word Fellowship in Dinuba?
We came to pastor in May of 96.
You guys have been faithful. You've done a great work. And you have the most strategic location in all of Dinuba. You guys have made a great impact upon that city, because you chose to start getting involved not only as a pastor, but you started getting involved in government in the city. And I know that Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has been encouraging lately for pastors to start running for political office. And a few years ago, that was quite unheard of. But how did you get involved in the governmental process, the political process, serving as a pastor?
Well, that's, that's to make a long story short, when we were here in the beginning days here in Dinuba, I began to look around the community, and there were things that I did not really like that our local government was doing, decisions that they had made to stint the growth in the community, and they were not very business friendly, and various things that I saw that I felt like needed to be changed. And the government that had been in place, the city council, had been there for many, many years. As a matter of fact, the seat that I ran against in 2002 had been there for 20 years and been unopposed for about 12 of those years. Mm-hmm. And so I just started getting involved in local things like the Chamber of Commerce. That's where I really got my start, and just got involved there at the local chamber area, and then became the president of the Chamber of Commerce. They put me over the Economic Development Committee. And then one day I had some business owners that came to me and said, we need your voice to be at city council. That's where the decisions are really made, and that's where we can be a more business-friendly city. And so I put out some feelers and began to think about it, and then I started going around to our local police officers and firefighters and seeing how bad the situation was there and how underfunded they were, and realized that something had to be done. And so I talked to my family and I talked to my congregation, and we made the announcement. And in 2002, we ran for office, and we actually unseated a guy that, as I said, had been there for 20 years. He'd been the mayor for 12. He'd been unopposed for that 12 years, mm-hmm. and we unseated him. We carried 65% of the vote.
Wow. And how did your congregation respond? Because I'm sure this was a new twist for them. How did they respond to their pastor running for political office, being in local government?
You know, it was a scary thing in the beginning, because the congregation knew that I was very involved and very passionate about local government, not really politics. I hate politics, but just what was going on in our community, and they knew I was very involved, as I encouraged them to be very involved. And the way that I laid it out to them was, look, you need to serve your city, mm-hmm. and this is the greatest opportunity that I could have to serve my city, I believe, and shared with them my heart. And they, with the exception of one or two families, were extremely supportive. As a matter of fact, the day I announced it, they gave me a standing ovation. They went out, and many of them knocked on doors. I never brought it up in the pulpit. I never talked about local politics or anything in the pulpit. Always did that in a private setting, mm-hmm. if people wanted to come and to visit. But that was one of the safety nets that I put in place, because I felt like the pulpit needed to be to minister the gospel. Mm-hmm. And of course, I believe part of the gospel is being involved in your local community and sharing the good news of Jesus, you know, in that community. And so that's the support I gathered. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I think you made a great move, but so many pastors, they still are a recipient of the left-wing media and the religious groups that says, you know, pastors shouldn't be involved in government. They should just shepherd their church. But I really believe that pastors are called not only to a local congregation, but I do believe they're called to their city. And, you know, they try to, anytime I believe that a pastor or a minister would try to run for political office, I believe that they're shamed, intimidated if possible. I remember years ago when a friend of mine who was pastoring a thriving church in Oklahoma City announced that he was going to run for United States Senate. His opponent said, I thought, this is what he said on the TV, I thought you were a preacher. I thought you were a pastor. I didn't know you were going to get involved in politics. And so eventually, before long, he actually dropped out because of he didn't want to carry the stigma, or, you know, he was intimidated. But I know that you refused to go that route. And eventually go ahead.
Well, yeah, that I got a lot of that backlash in the community, not so much from my opponent, at least the first time around. I got some terrible attacks when I re-upped for office in 2006. But look, I went through all of that just as well. At the end of the day, every pastor has to make their own decision, but I believe that we should lead by example within our congregations. And not every pastor is called to really be that involved in local government, mm-hmm. In that capacity, but they should be involved in their community, mm-hmm. at a high level, because at the end of the day, you know, that's where we're planted, and mm-hmm. that's what we should be doing to impact our community. And I don't believe you can really bring full change in a community without pastors being very involved and being relevant in the decision-making process and what's going on in that city.
I agree. And, you know, for years as a pastor, when I was leading a church, I was really promoting. I never ran for political office because no one like Mark Wallace had broken the ice or the glass ceiling. But I did encourage people in my church to run for office way back, even in the 70s, and they were doing it and responding to it. And I've been involved in the political process all the way from city government all the way to the United States Congress friend of mine ran for lieutenant governor. I had a man in my church ran for lieutenant governor. And a guy in my church was mayor. So I've believed in this all along, except I had not heard about a pastor serving as the head of a city. And I had not really heard that until, and some people said, well, is God really for that? But I know I gave you a prophetic word, not even knowing you were involved in city government, that one day you'd be the mayor of your city. So evidently, God was promoting you even at that moment. And so I know you ran for mayor, and it was really a tough campaign, wasn't it?
Well, it was. As a matter of fact, we had when I actually met you, I had been on city council for a while. Didn't really talk very much about it or anything to people outside of the church. And I came to a pastor's conference that you and Nigel McNeil were holding in Phoenix, Arizona. And there in that conference, it was time for reelection. It was time for my tenure to be over with after my 4 years that I had served. And I was debating, I was kicking back and forth whether I was going to run again. Went to that conference and had pretty much decided not to run. And you pulled me out of a group of, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred pastors and began to prophesy that I'd be the mayor of my city. And of course, I had some people from our congregation and actually a couple of other pastors from my city that were there. And I turned and looked at him and kind of shrugged my shoulders like, oh, well, I guess we're running for office again. And so I threw my name in the hat. And yeah, that was an ugly, ugly election. I had an opponent that had been a convicted felon. He was hiding all of that. There was a lot of racial uproar within the community at the time. My community is 89% Hispanic, and you know, I'm a little white boy from the Midwest, and they were starting to play that card pretty heavy, and attacking at that time. They began to attack my family, they began to attack my church. They accused me of all sorts of things, accused members of my congregation, began to call us a cult and various things throughout the community, anything they could to gain status. And it was a very difficult time, but you know, it was pretty amazing how God began to come to my rescue in that. And Dale, you always say, and I have echoed, that one word from God can change everything in your life. Mm-hmm. And that word from the Lord was the only thing, honestly, that I had to go on, because in the reelection time, I was down probably 30 points in local polling. Not very many people would put my signs up in the yards and so on and so forth, because they had been going door to door and passing out pamphlets of lies regarding myself, regarding my congregation, my family. They had me doing unheard of things. And, mm-hmm. and of course, I've always been of the opinion that a man's integrity will carry him through. And, you know, Paul tells us to live a life above reproach. And mm-hmm. I've always taught it that a life above reproach basically means that if somebody made an accusation against you, that those that know you would consider it laughable, because they would say there's no way mm-hmm. that could happen. And it was amazing, because firefighters and police officers, one young firefighter came to my door and he knocked on my door and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, you know, this is a tough campaign." And he said, "Come on, come with me." And that guy began to knock on doors, and he began to take me with him and to every person in the community. And literally, that was the first time in the history of the city of Dinuba that the police and the fire department came out and endorsed a candidate. Not only did their associations endorse me as a candidate, but they put me on the front page of the newspaper, surrounded by police officers and firefighters. and said, you know, this man has single-handedly helped us so much in this community. You need to vote for him. And they worked phones. They did everything under the sun. And all of a sudden, I chose to take the high road. I didn't point out my opponent's negative status and his record or anything about it. I just continued to love Jesus and share the good news everywhere I went and believe God. And we won that one. Not as huge a margin, but we still won with 58% of the vote as things turned around in that last 45 days of the election.
Well, this is a modern day miracle story, Mark Wallace. How a charismatic pastor, how a white preacher from the Midwest who was not even raised a local could come in and we're in win the mayorship of a city that is 89% Hispanic. I mean, that's a miracle. And God, there's no doubt that God gave you favor to become the mayor of that city as well as the pastor of that church, followed by many other miracles. So how did your tenure as mayor turn out? What were the results of your election and you seated there in that place of authority?
Well, it was a pretty amazing time for me. Some of the things that we were able to do on the city council were things that, and when I say we had an amazing city council. We had an amazing city manager that was at the core of everything. And, you know, I often say the council made the decision, but the manager made it happen. Mm-hmm. And he was just an amazing guy, Roman Catholic. And a believer, he loved Jesus, and he and I had many, many long private conversations about that. But during my time as not only city councilman, but vice mayor and then the mayor of the city, there were so many changes that took place. Probably the very first thing that happened when I first went on in 2002, there was a huge uproar in the state of California about praying in public and the public forum. And our city attorney came to us about a month after I was on city council. And he said at the city council meeting, we can no longer have an invocation at the city. And of course I had been knocking on doors and my pitch was really, as I look back, it had to be God, because I would walk on people's property, knock on their door and say, if you want to hear thus saith the Lord at city council, then vote for me. And they did. And so I knocked on over 500 doors during that time. Well, when I'm on city council now and the city attorney is telling us you can no longer do an invocation, I raised my hand and began to speak, and I said, I just want to make it known that even if it is illegal to do that, and there was a higher court down in Southern California that had declared this to be unconstitutional and a bunch of liberal mess. And as I'm sitting there, I said, okay, well, we'll do it this way then. I have 10 minutes at every city council meeting where I share information. And what I'll do is during my information time, I'll read from the scripture, I'll elaborate on the scripture, and I'll pray during my 10 minutes. And I said, we'll either do it that way or we can have an invocation. But one way or another, God is going to be present and mm-hmm. He's going to be welcomed in these chambers. And all five city councilmen said, we will go to jail before we stop praying.
Wow.
And at that moment, everything shifted. So that was the very first thing that changed and probably the most profound thing. And to this day, they still continue to pray. And by the way, that city attorney is no longer our city attorney. So things have changed over the years. But we were able to make so many local practical changes. One thing, for instance, when I went on city council, we literally only had two police officers patrolling the entire city in the middle of the night. And I began to see that and realize that we were highly understaffed. We were in a small community of about 20,000. And a lot of times our police officers would come here for a training ground and then move to bigger agencies. And so one of the things we did was we gave our guys a raise, and our men and women that protect us, we gave them a raise. We bought new police vehicles. We bought various things. By the end of our tenure there, we had totally transformed it. We had motorcycle cops. They had tasers. We had police dogs. We had new cars, new facilities, everything that they needed, computers. And we really funded it the same with our firefighters. They were living like homeless guys on cots. And we built a brand new complex for them. And we did all of that without raising local taxes. There was a way that we did it. Our city manager was brilliant to bring in outside funding and creative forms of funding. So all this, when they begin to tell you, well, there's not funding for it, there's plenty of money. It's just going in the wrong places. And one of the advantages of being on the city council is to see the budget and to see where the money is going and to get it where it needs to go. And so now the city of Dinuba is one of the safest places in the Central Valley. We don't have gang violence like many of the other cities do because of the fact that we have increased our police force and given them the proper tools to do it. And it's a fight, especially in a day and age where police officers are not respected. And you know, I could go on and on. I don't know how much time we have, but from an economic status, the city totally transformed. We brought businesses here. We have the West Coast Distribution Center for Best Buy, and it's right here in the city of Dinuba. We began to look at it and say, look, we are strategically located right here in the heart of the Central Valley. What do we have going for us? What are the redemptive qualities of our city? And I took it from a real spiritual standpoint, and I wasn't afraid to share those thoughts with my fellow council members. And I said, look, God begins to talk about righteousness exalting a nation, sin being a reproach to any people. And so we need moral conduct to change in our community, and we need things to begin to shift. And God wants us to prosper. And these were areas that we weighed in on, and we began to bring business to a local city. We went to trade shows around the nation. We went to Sacramento and our local, you know, our state government, and fought for monies that were being, you know, sent down into Los Angeles and some of the bigger communities, and we fought for that money to come to local government instead. It's already taxpayer money, and it's just going in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And we fought there. We fought in Washington. Devin Nunes was a huge help to us here in our local community. He's a Republican congressman from the Central Valley, and he fights for water rights and various things. And he was a huge help to us to get two major highways to come through the city of Dinuba. So now we had transportation, we had water, we had everything taken care of here in the Central Valley. And we were able to draw a lot of business here, a lot of things that we had not had before. And so, of course, that creates jobs, and things begin to turn around.
Pastor Mark Wallace, that's an amazing story. And, of course, I'm sure that when you begin to wear two hats, your church suffered. Your church went down to nothing as a result of you serving on the city council and serving as mayor. Is that correct?
No, quite the opposite, actually. At the same time, and it is a juggling act. But, you know, I just begin to see everything flowing together. And when you're called to a city to really impact it, I believe the church has to be very much so a part of that. And so our congregation saw the changes going on in the community, how the things of God were being stood for. I was able to rally our congregation, our leadership, to be involved in serving our city. You had a word for us that we're here to serve the city, and the congregation began to rise up and just through the heart of servanthood began to see things transformed. Mm-hmm. And our church actually more than doubled in size. Actually, it more than tripled in size during the 8 years that I was on city council. We moved shortly after I was off of city council. We did move into this magnificent facility that God blessed us with. That's another story for another day. But mm-hmm. but our congregation grew and thrived during that time. And at the tail end of it, our congregation got to the size, and we were, it's not that large church pastors should not be involved. We should. Mm-hmm. And I'm still very involved in the community. Problem was, we were at that in-between stage where I just felt like I needed to give my full attention to the church at that time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that resulted in us moving into this, this wonderful complex and now being a voice in the community in many, many ways. And now to this day, I've raised up people within our congregation that are very involved. We have school board members, we have principals, we have people that are involved in the Chamber of Commerce, in economic development. We have people that have run and been involved with planning commission, various things, because they saw that example. And now my role has shifted to raising up a congregation that will be involved in the community. So, mm-hmm.
Pastor Mark
we
Wallace,
definitely grew.
I could concur with that. I was a firsthand witness. And I really believe that Living Word Fellowship is one of the great churches in America. And I have I've been to a few churches where I would come to minister, and the same size gathering would be there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night. Usually, you go to a church minister on Sunday morning, you're going to have a drop off on Sunday night, and then another drop off on Monday night. But I come to your church, and the same size congregation there on Monday night is Sunday morning, and you've just done a great job. You've served the city, and there's no doubt that God has given you and your wife, Tammy, and your kids, given you great favor. He's given you favor in the city. And I believe that God wants to give favor, and I believe that I'm going to prophesy. You mentioned it had to be God. I'm going to prophesy you're going to write a book about your story in Dinuba, because what I've seen happen, I've shared with so many people. So Pastor Mark Wallace in the book, It Had to Be God, and I believe that your story needs to go out all across America. That will be a tremendous encouragement. You guys have the largest church facility in town. How many square feet do you have now in your facility?
Well, we have a little over 40,000 square feet. It's a former car dealership that during the 2008 turnaround and downturn in our community, there was a car dealership that went under. And actually, you were a big part of that as well, because we were looking at it in 2008, 2009, 2010, and right on through. And in 2011, I believe it was, you came and ministered. And I said, Dale, we have a building that we are believing God for, and I would really, really like to walk you through that building. And you begin to pray and prophesy. And said, I'm standing on your property. This belongs to the church. And in the natural, Dale, we had been to 50 banks, and nobody would loan us the money. And God, through you in that prophetic word, and then a little man from Ghana, Africa, prophesied over us that I'd never met before, and said, "I see you in the month of February," which would have been 2013, I guess, by the time it came to pass. He said, "I see you in the month of February, and you're walking through the building." And he didn't know me or anything about it. And he said, "The deal you thought was dead is not dead. And I see you walking through the building with a very tall man. And the thing I've prophesied will come to pass." And on the last day of February of that year, a man got out of his car, 6'7" tall, got out of his Mercedes, walked into our building, and he put 8 men together throughout the various states that he knew that financed this privately, and enabled us to get into the building. We've since refinanced with the bank and so on and so forth. It's pretty easy to get it refied once you're in there and you've made payments and everything, but it's just a miraculous story. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. There's no way we have time to go into the detail, but it was a phenomenal time. And the word the Lord gave you was very instrumental during that time. So,
well, you your story in Dinuba, California, there's a lot more to tell, is a miracle story, and one day we'll tell some more of it. I trust that you'll write your book, and I'll certainly promote it. Today, I'm going to have you to pray, Pastor Mark Wallace, pastor of Living Word Fellowship, Dinuba, California, and former mayor of the city. I'm going to have you to pray for pastors and church leaders that they will run for political office, because I heard the Holy Spirit say months ago, it's all going to come down. The battle for our nation is going to come down to city after city. It's going to be for the city. And we know that the walls of our nation have been broken down. Gates have been burned with fire. But I believe that there is authority in the city. And once people begin to realize, and that the church must begin to realize that they can have authority in the city. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me months ago that there are several seats that people can sit in at the gates of a city. One is they can sit at the gates on the city council, or the mayor, the chief of police, the county sheriff, the school board, the president of the school board. If there is a university, the board of regents, and the president of the college or university, and the media, which is playing a major role right now, and pastors. Pastors have great authority in their city, and sometimes they don't realize or recognize that. So I've been sounding the trumpet, Mark, about this, and I wanted you to pray and just speak a message to these pastors that they will get that they are called not only to their congregation but called to their city. And if they don't want to run for a mayor or a school board or political office, they can certainly support people in their congregation, become very involved. So I want you to maybe speak a word to these pastors, church leaders that are listening, and Christians, and then I want you to say a prayer.
Absolutely. I'd be honored to do that. And, you know, as you were sharing that, Dale, and speaking, I'm sitting in my office, and I just immediately I heard the Spirit of God say, "I'm going to raise up a spirit of Nehemiah in pastors and in leaders," where many times pastors don't feel qualified. They don't feel like they could ever lead in that area because they've had the call of God to pastor a church. But I just speak over those pastors right now, that spirit of Nehemiah that would rise up and say, "No, my city is in ruins. Should such a man as I stand back and watch as my city is destroyed, and I have to go and I have to fight for my city." And the word that the Lord gave me was in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 20. He answered Sanballat and Tobiah and said, "The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise. We will rebuild our city, but you will have no portion or right or memorial in it." And so, Father, I just pray right now over pastors. I pray for courage, I pray for strength. I pray for a boldness that would rise up in them that would say, no, I have ownership in this city. Father, I thank you that you're even moving pastors that have been living outside of the city, that you would move on them to move into the city where they dwell and the city where they pastor, and to say, I have ownership. I have legitimacy in this city. And Father, that I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm going to be the answer to the and the solution, not part of the problem, not just going on and blogging about it or preaching about it, but God, that they would rise up with the spirit of Nehemiah and say, I can no longer stand back while my city lay in ruins. I'm going to rise up and we will rebuild the walls and the protection of our city. Father, I pray for that to rise up in the name of Jesus. And Father, for this, the left-wing media that has been discouraging pastors, the precepts and the mindsets of old, of the old paradigms that pastors have operated in, that Father, those things would begin to be broken down and they would rise up and they would realize and recognize that this is a spiritual fight. This is a holy fight that we are in. And Father God, this is the place where you said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, that they can represent their God, the God of the universe, to speak at their city council, at their board, the school board, at the education level, in so many different areas. Father, I pray that leaders would rise up from communities inside the church, and that the church once again would be relevant in the local city, in the local government, in local areas, Father God, of leadership, that you would raise up leaders. So many times we teach on leadership at the church level, and we're just talking about being a leader in the church. But Father, I thank you that we will shift that to being a leader in the city, to being a leader in the community, yes, that they will hear, thus saith the Lord, in our communities. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you that you're turning the tide in America, and you're starting it in the local communities. I thank you for it now, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. I set myself in agreement.
Amen.
I really like the word you gave. I really like the word you gave concerning pastors living in the city where they pastor. I just believe there's great authority, and I'm not casting aspersions on pastors that are living in different geographical locations and pastoring in another place. But I just believe that there's great authority in the city where we live, and pastors living in the same city where their congregation is, I believe is an extra. I believe it's a plus. And when they run for political office in the city where they lead a church, I believe that gives them much greater authority. I just believe there's much greater authority in the city where we live. And I believe you've brought that to pass. That's a great word. Thank you for praying and encouraging. We're broadcasting live from Austin, Texas. But there may be pastors that want to get in touch with you and hear more about your story, how they can get involved in the political process, et cetera, et cetera. What is your contact information? What is your website?
Well, the church website is lwfdinuba.com. They could, email me through that. But my personal email is pastor@lwfdinuba.com. That's pastor@lwfdinuba.com. And certainly we would love to share and to visit with any pastor or any leader that would love to be involved. Mm-hmm. There's some very practical things that I wasn't able to really go into here,
right,
but I've got some real practical insight on how you would go about it in the right way of doing it.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. God has blessed you, and you've been a definite forerunner, I believe, in what God wants to do among pastors and leaders. And if people just Google Mark Wallace, they could probably reach you also. Mark Wallace Dinuba, D-I-N-U-B-A, Dinuba, California. Mark Wallace. Hey, it's been great to have you on, and I know that we have lots of mutual friends. Nigel McNeil spiritual father there, and that and others, including the Mooring family, and one of the most listened to songs in Christian music today was written at your church. And one of my spiritual grandson, Leland Mooring, Leland and Jack Mooring were there, and Leland tells me he wrote this song, "The Lion and the Lamb," at Living Word yep. Fellowship in Dinuba.
And, it was an amazing night.
Yeah,
it really was.
So I'm gonna play that song right now. And Mark Wallace, been a delight to have you on. I really love you, and give your love to your wife Tammy and the congregation there. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Well, we love you and Gene very, very much, and just appreciate all you're doing. And our hearts are knit. That we're just knit together in our
That's
faith.
Right.
We just love you guys
That's
so
right.
very much.
We love you too. Okay, bye-bye. Here's Leland, Lion and the Lamb.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. For me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how are for me. Oh, how he loves, yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion, and he is our prize. Redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all.
I whisper in the morning, and you are my lips when I say goodnight. You are the one who captured my heart without warning, higher than the moon, brighter than the stars, you are. And you are the first name I whisper when I'm lonely. And you are my lips when I need you near. You are my Lord and Savior, my one and only. Honey in the rock, bright and morning star, you are. You are the one who somehow noticed me when no one in the world could see my face. You are the one who plucked me out of the darkness and saved my life with your amazing grace. No, I'm just a sinner purchased by your scars. And I know that I'm not perfect, but Jesus, you are, you are, you are. Jesus, you are. You are, you are, Jesus, you are. And you are the first name I whisper in the morning. And you are on my lips when I say good night. You are, Jesus, you are. Whoa, whoa. Jesus, you are. You are, you are. Jesus, you are. You are, you are. Jesus, you are.